Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. You already know what time it is. It's that official time. When we take this worldwide. Let's go. Listen. So now it's time to turn it up. Surf the radio waves as we begin to burn it up. We all up in your area like landscape, definitely bringing you the power slamming pancakes. It's the mandate that you tune in. It's time to move out so we can move in and recognize that this is no illusion. I'm here to clear the air so that there is no confusion. It all started off in the book of Genesis when Jacob was wrestling with who he thought was his nemesis. And when the man saw he couldn't overpower him, he touched his hip but he really could have devoured him. And from that point, then we hear a name change, rearrange the game, so now we gotta change. So I'm here to let you know it's time to listen to the Pancake and Power Slam Show. Let's go!
Bring what you got. The measuring stick just changed around here, buddy. You're looking at it.
Four corners, free, our mind. Let's go. The whole squad is making it clear we taking this year. You know who we are, but you don't know why we here. So this is where the big boys play. These big boys play like who defies the living God? Get out the big boys' way. Outsiders with the swoop in. We live as kings. You see in us, but our third man waits in the wings. And when the time is right, we shock him with the proper attack. I go for Dolo, but ain't solo, cause the promo in black. Hollywood, Hendrix, Frizzle, pinning them to the mat.
And I'm Dash Wunderkin with the strength of 100 men, with one intent to see the will fulfilled of the one who sent his son to give himself. But you rap about your gas and your rags torture, white coffins when I drop a bomb. My mic's awesome, never lost faith. You in all space, you can all skate, suffer but never crippled. No bin walls in my cross face. From here to Saturday, raving, anticipating. I was frostbit, now I am glacier, mixed with some Vader. Get to hawking with these animals. You and God for my defense in Alabama, we jamming. That's beautiful, Bobby Eaton, me and Priest. We the dangerous alliance, nah, the Harlem Heat. Tie the do-rag before we do battle. You're talking sheep, you all what you speak. That's too sweet.
Till the number is took back, we repping that work pack. The foundation's shaking, no mistaking, yeah, we shook that. Trust in God, we trust, pushing forward, never look back. Meekness ain't at all weakness, some people mistook that. Stamping out this crook rap, he turning the power on the razor's edge, leg drop after a power bomb. Tired of the lies, man, we bringing the truth through, diligent and fruitful, the owners in our group too. It's good to be king, sold out, this war is brutal.
We playing them war games, our army go move too. You crew, I'm in the Raptors with a bat in my hand, and stand to shatter all your plans so they don't matter. In the grand scheme, it's that easy. We tag teaming, Steiner brothers, we love it. Demand the win, establish it. This the clash of the champions.
This is where the big boys play, huh? We ain't here to play.
All right. We will get these technical difficulties together with no problem at all. For some reason, it's not working, but we will make this work. We'll be right back. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back here on the Pancakes and Power Slam show. Chris called in, but I don't know what's going on, so we'll just continue going with the flow here. Episode 217, we'll make it happen, and we'll make it happen very, very awesomely. We will get some we will get some things rolling here. We will make sure that we will get it rolling here. All right, 217 episodes, ladies and gentlemen. We are going to have some fun. We're going to get the show rolling. Continue to get the show rolling. Despite of what's going on here, we will make this work. 217 episodes in, and this has been a pretty fun couple weeks with the technical glitches here, but. Thank you, Paul London, last week. That was very, very fun, very, very interesting. And we will be sure to continue to provide to you, man, the most awesomest wrestling extraordinaire. So we will get into Extreme Rules. Again, follow Crave Wrestling at Crave Wrestling. And on Facebook, and go ahead and follow Crave Wrestling on Twitter at Crave Wrestling. And we will just continue to have a fun time, an exciting time, a time to be sure to that you will be able to have a whole lot of fun enjoying. And we shall be right back.
You are now listening to the Pancakes and Power Slam show by Crave Wrestling on Blog Talk Radio. Be sure to follow Crave Wrestling on Twitter at Crave Wrestling and join the Facebook fan page Crave Wrestling.
All righty. Yeah, we'll have them back on the show. It's no big deal. We will go into Extreme Rules and talk about that. But yeah, I really appreciate everybody supporting the Facebook Live. We've been having some really, really, really good chats there. A lot of fun, a lot of excitement there on the Facebook Live. Extreme Rules was great after Raw and the Raw after The Raw review was great as well, and it was great times, and we'll get into Extreme Rules, and we are going to continue to have some fun on the Pancakes and Power Slam show, episode 217. We'll see what we can do with Caitlin Croft. We'll see if we can bring him on, but. It's no big deal if we can't. But yeah, I did see that he called in. Not quite sure exactly what happened with the answering. Try to bring him on, but the call dropped, so I don't know exactly what's going on. But yeah, we'll make it happen. We'll make it work if he can't call back in within the show. But if not, we'll the show must go on. We must talk Extreme Rules. This is extreme. What does that word even mean anymore? What does extreme mean in the WWE sphere? Because and we'll talk about the Asylum match. Does that even really mean anything? The Asylum match, extreme. This is extreme. I remember the old Extreme Rules before it was Extreme Rules. It was ECW One Night Stand, and that's something that I really enjoyed. I really enjoyed ECW One Night Stand because I was a big ECW fan. But instead, we get Extreme Rules, which is a very dumbed down version of the ECW One Night Stand. Without further ado, I'm bring on my OG, my original co-host, man, I'm really excited to talk some wrestling, Ryan. But before that, we'll be right back. All right, so that was Kaylin. That was Kaylin Croft giving me a call and live on the show, and we're going to continue. We're going to get this interview rolling. He said it's something happened with his phone. He said he needs to buy a new one. So without further ado, I'm looking forward to speak to Mr. Chris Kaylin Croft Pavone. How are you tonight, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. So, you're from Youngstown.
Yes, that is correct.
Yeah, you live in Florida now, right?
Yeah, Tampa, Florida.
Nice. So, what made you? What happened between Youngstown to make you want to move to Tampa? I know that you did some FCW, which is in Florida. So was that the decision that made you want to live in Florida, or is it better opportunity? Because I know you're teaching now.
Yeah, actually it was, I was with, Ohio Valley Wrestling, and the developmental was in Louisville, Kentucky.
Yep.
And, so I was with them, I was with WWE then, and then, got released. And then when I got back, they were based out of Florida. And so when John Laurinaitis rehired me, he said, would you be willing to go down to Florida? I said, oh, heck yeah, I'd love to. So that brought me down to Tampa. And then when I got released in 2010, I just stayed here because I really enjoy Tampa.
Yeah, that's great. The only city I've been in Florida was Miami for my honeymoon back in 2010.
Okay. Very nice.
Yeah.
My wife's
Miami. Nice. Yeah. Actually, my honeymoon was in the Virgin Islands, but I had to stop in Miami for a layover.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, but it was good, man. It was Virgin Islands. You ever been in Virgin Islands?
I have not. No.
Yeah. It's very interesting. Everything goes by like what are those things called? The safaris. They go by the safaris, and they drive on the left side of the street. We're so used to the States to drive on the right side, but
right.
A lot of them. I think St. Croix, if I'm not mistaken, we were in St. Thomas. I think St. Croix is still English owned, and so they go by the English driving on the left side of the street. Very, I found that very interesting when I went down there. So,
sure.
You're in Florida. I'm sure it wouldn't be too big of a flight. You know, one day I guess surprise your wife and take her to the Virgin Islands. Do you have any kids?
I'm sorry.
Do you have any children?
No, we plan to, but not yet.
Okay. How long y'all been married?
We got married in October 2015, so what was that, about 7 months, 8 months?
Oh, wow. Newlyweds.
Yeah, so we're newlyweds, yes.
Nice. Yeah. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Man. That's awesome.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Awesome.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, man. So what's out of 7 months, what was the biggest advice that you would give to someone who's about to get married?
Oh, man, I was just talking about this today. One of the things that's helped me the most is that, that you're going to have arguments and bicker at each other and all that stuff, and that's perfectly fine, perfectly normal, as I'm sure you could attest to, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
6 years.
because I always kind of thought, I guess, in my head, like, oh, once you get married, everything's perfect because you're married and you love each other. Well, shoot. Well, yeah, of course you love each other, but, we're we're human, and we have a great marriage, of course, my wife and I, but, everyone I speak with that has good marriages, and they all say the same thing, like, you're going to want to kill each other sometimes, But, yeah, because I used to think, like, oh, we got in a fight, like, that was such an awful thing, which,
Yeah.
Pretty normal.
Yeah. Man, I've learned so much, man. I've learned so much in nearly 6 years of marriage that really has grown me, you know, more than, you know what I mean? And I think that a lot of people don't look at it that way. I think it's very important to look at a marriage internally, you know, like, what mm-hmm. are you doing? You know, what are you doing? How are you causing? You know what I mean? So actually, a great friend of mine, actually one of the co-hosts, one of the staff members of my show, is getting married next month, and he's actually about to get on the show after the interview. And I've known him for, I don't know, 15 years now, and it's you know, great, man, to really be a marriage, you know, to have a marriage that's really an example of just how it is to fight and to really get through the fights. And it's not the end of the world, you know, when you have an argument. It's just, you know, it's just not the end of the world. Like, not like, you know, she hates you and it's just the end of all ends, and you know what I mean? It's you know, it's just not it's fun.
Yeah, absolutely. I've also learned, too, you know, when it's that time of the month for women, I don't even take stuff personal, you know.
Yeah.
Just like, look, I get it. You know.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, in 2 days, you're going to be fine. I know.
Right. Yeah. Just, you know, just tolerate it, you know. And I tell you what, man, it's, you know, this is a PG show, so I'll keep it PG, and I'll keep it I'll stick within the confines of my core beliefs. But I hope you understand what I mean by what I say this, that I've noticed that the drive, if you know what I mean, kind of spikes around that time too. So you can take advantage of that.
Sure. Right, you know, right. Like, never a bad thing.
Right.
Right.
So that's
pluses everything.
Right. Yeah, that's great. So yeah, congratulations on that, man. So let's talk, before we get into some wrestling, man, let's talk some Cleveland Cavaliers. I see that you're a Cleveland Cavs fan. What do you think? It's tied. The series is tied now, man. What do you think about that?
Oh, man. Well, like, my main, like, number one love is the Cleveland Browns. That's like my main. So Cavs would be next for sure. But you know, this time of the year, you know, basketball is different. Like football, there's 16 games. Maybe more if your team goes to the playoffs once a week. Basketball is hard. I mean, geez, the season's so long. There's so many games.
Yeah,
but
82 games.
This time, that's right, yeah. So, but now the playoffs are here, so it's fun. You know, they're on prime time, you know, one game a night. And, oh, man, the Cavs have never upset me really before. Usually it's the Browns that upset me, but I was pretty upset about that loss last night. Because it's like, man, they dominated Toronto those first two games, and then, okay, they kind of maybe let up. You know, they Toronto was for real, you know, that third game, and then I was thinking, all right, let's beat them, go up 3-1, that'll be it. You know, that's going to be hard for the
right
to come back for that. And then they're down 18, they come back, and they go ahead at the end there, and then they lose it. Oh, man, now it's 2-2, and like, man, it could go any either way.
yeah. Same thing with Golden State and OKC. You know, a lot of people thought it was going to be just an easy walk-in Golden State Cleveland Finals, just like like last year. But man, we may be getting the complete opposite. We may get OKC in Toronto. So it's pretty interesting stuff. I'm from Ohio too. I'm an Ohioan. I still live in Ohio, so. Right outside of Columbus.
Yeah, I saw that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I was born and raised in Columbus. Yep. So, but I'm a diehard Ohio State fan, but I'm just all over the place with different sports. I mean, I'm a Tennessee Titans football fan. I'm a Chicago Bulls basketball fan. I'm a huge Duke college basketball fan. So, yeah, I'm kind of all over the place. Yeah. So.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sports are
so
great.
Yeah. Yeah. So you you started off in was it 01 you started your wrestling career?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So how did you get a break in wrestling? I mean, what was it about wrestling that intrigued you? Was it about watching as a kid? Were you at the gym and someone kind of gave you a suggestion? Or what was it about wrestling that made you kind of, go that route?
I was one of those guys that, just from as far as back as I can remember, I wanted to be a wrestler. You know, I don't know why. It just always appealed to me. So when I was 12, I remember thinking, I wanted to do that. Then, when I was 17, it was like, that's what I'm doing. That's all I talked about. I remember my girlfriend at the time was just rolling her eyes all the time. That's like what you talk about is wrestling. And wrestling was first. That was the reason for everything else. Like, that's the reason I started working out, So it's just that's why it's kind of funny to think that I'm not in it no more, because it was like, that's all I was about, for so long.
Yeah.
But I was just one of those guys that that's all I want to do. And looking back, I really didn't. I mean, I thought of it, but I didn't realize it at the time. I felt really fortunate to be able to live out a dream, but also to have a goal. I remember looking back in high school, a lot of my friends, and they weren't sure what they're gonna do, on to college, whatever. To me, I never even thought about it. I was just like, dude, I'm gonna be a wrestler. That's what I'm doing.
Right.
But it was good to have a goal like that looking back.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, I really applaud that. So you got your opportunity with Ohio Valley Wrestling. What would you contribute to giving you that opportunity?
Because I looked for a long time for a school to go to, because I was in school back in Ohio, Youngstown State University. And my parents were like, look, stay in school and you we'll be supportive of wrestling. So I had to find something that would train me, on the weekends, so I can go to school during the week. And I heard about OVW. I'd never heard about it before. Because they didn't get a lot of coverage back then. Internet and everything. The internet wasn't as big. I mean, obviously it was there, But a lot of PWI, all those night, they didn't get a lot of coverage. I found out they're a developmental league for WWE, and they had a Saturday beginners class once a week on Saturdays. And I thought, oh man, that makes sense. This is the WWE developmental territory, and I can do the Saturday. The only kind of problem was that it was in Louisville, Kentucky, which was a 6-hour drive one way. And I remember thinking, man, is that possible? And then I remember Mick Foley's story, when he drove 8 hours one way to train. And I thought, okay, it's been done before, I can do this. So that's what I started to do. And Nick Dinsmore was our trainer. And he was real helpful to me. I remember when I went to the class, it was I stood out, because I kind of had a natural ability, from the beginning. But I also I worked out, I was in shape, which isn't, too big of a deal. But a lot of the guys in class were I don't think any of them worked out. There were just a lot of Southern Kentucky guys. wanting to try to be a wrestler. So I think that combined with the fact that I was traveling all this way, Nick really kind of helped me out a lot and, helped open some doors. And kind of went from there.
Nice. Yeah. So Eugene, that's great. So you worked a lot with The Miz in OVW, and you saw him kind of blossom into a star that he is now. So I was watching some OVW stuff, and I watched a few matches. It was it was you and Miz against Chet the Jet and
Seth Padmire, probably. Right?
Yep. That's who it was.
Yeah.
You played more of a bodyguard type of role, for the Miz, kind of like a muscle for the Miz. And it was really interesting because you looked bigger. And were you bigger in OVW because you looked bigger than when you were teaming with Trent?
Yeah, I think I was a little bigger then, probably about 10 pounds bigger, probably.
Yeah. You look kind of like you remind me a little bit of Reno from WCW. I don't know if you remember Reno from WCW.
Oh yeah,
the Natural Born Thrillers.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, man.
Yeah,
what we were doing there was Paul Heyman was Booker then, and we were doing like I was a heel and Miz was a babyface, but we were like put together as a team.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what we were, going. He was trying to do the right thing, and I would like want to cheat and be a jerk.
Yeah, I remember Lex Luger and Sting did that at one point in time in their career. Yeah, when they were tag champs and feud with Harlem Heat. Luger was the heel and trying to bring Sting over, and it was, that's pretty interesting. So.
Yeah, those were fun matches. I remember with those guys.
Yeah. So who came up with the Kalen Croft name? Because you were Chris Cage at that time, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who came up with Kalen Croft?
I did, actually. And there's actually a story behind it. So this is the time now where, WWE has gone through phases where, for example, I remember when Cena got brought up, he's John Cena. Brian Kendrick, they went through a phase where they just like using guys' real names.
Mm-hmm.
Sean O'Hare, if I remember. And then all of a sudden, there's a time where you can't use your real name, so everybody has to have a gimmick name. So, around 2009, when I get re-signed in, December of 2008, at that time, everybody had to have a gimmick name for whatever reason. And sometimes if a name, once you have a name, you want to keep it. So if you're in developmental, somebody got called up before you with the same first name, you would, they got to keep it. Because Vince would also get on these weird kicks where, for a while, nobody could have the same name. they didn't want two people with the same first names.
Yeah,
which is silly because we have the same name. In real life, people have the same first name.
Exactly.
I remember Tyson Tarver, who was in the original Nexus Tarver.
Mm-hmm.
He used to work as Tyson Tarver, and then T.J. Wilson got called up as Tyson Kidd. And that's just an example. So Tarver had to change his Tyson. So anyway, I always thought that there's a boxer from Youngstown named Kelly Pavlik. You probably heard of him. I always thought it was cool to have a feminine sounding name, but for a male fighter. It's almost like a paradox,
Yeah.
And I kind of like the sound of names that can be male or female.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought Kalen was a cool name, and I got Kalen from Doc Gallows. He had a son. He has a son named Cade.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember him telling me a list of names they were going to name him. And there were a bunch of unique boy names. So I liked Kalen. But the main thing was I figured it was a safe bet that nobody else was going to have it. That's right. Yeah. And then my mom's maiden name was Krofchek.
Okay. Okay. Now, Tomb Raider is that Laura Croft?
Yeah, and my cousin mentioned that. I honestly actually can't remember which one I got it from.
Okay.
It could be from Tomb Raider, but I remember it as being from my mom's maiden.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Either one works. Either one.
But maybe it was in my subconscious. Maybe he told me that, you know, and so. Right.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
So you end up pairing up with Trent Barrett as the Dude Busters. What was it about? I mean, because y'all had very similar size, similar to Curt Hawkins and Zack Ryder when they were the Edgeheads. It seemed like they were together because they were kind of like doppelgangers for Edge. So they put them together. As far as you and Trent, was it the same type of feel? Or was that the same kind of theme? Y'all had the same size, looked the same, so they put you together as the Dude Busters?
Yeah, you know, and I think we were kind of one of those things where when I got to FCW, they put us together because, you know, we looked alike.
Mm-hmm.
And then actually the way we got called up was because of Edge. We were having some practice matches, and Curt Hawkins, you know, came down to FCW on his own, and he knew Edge well from
mm-hmm.
when he was an Edgehead, like you were just saying.
Mm-hmm.
And Edge was down in FCW, and we got to know Edge, and I guess he told Michael Hayes, he said, "Man, just bring these guys up. They're good and they're ready." And you know, I guess it was in the process anyway, so we get called up. I think we kind of fell into that where they just, you know, they brought us up, like, "Okay, you guys are up. Now we're not sure what to do with you," you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it was cool at first because ECW, we were on ECW every week.
Mm-hmm.
Then after we were up there a few months later, it was shut down, and you know, ECW shut down. And that same night, we gave you on SmackDown against Prime Time. And I was like, "Oh, cool, you know, we'll get right into the mix." But they never really. You know, and that happens. You know, they just never really got behind us, really. And then the Dude Buster name, Trent came up with that. He used to use it on the indies from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember. We started saying it or something, and then we showed up to TV one day, and it was on the – when you get to the arena, the show is posted. And we looked at the lineup, and we're on there at the Dude Buster show. Like, no way. And one of the writers came up to us, and they're like, "Yeah, man, we researched it. You know, there's not another Dude Buster name, so we copyrighted it so we can use it." So,
nice. Wow.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
So you mentioned your ECW run. It didn't really go as planned. It seems like you guys had some steamrolling in the beginning, but it just seems like the creative team just kind of faded away in their investment in you guys. What exactly happened? Was it something that you or Trent did, or was it just one of those things where they just stopped really investing in the characters?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think so, you know. And then it can be weird sometimes. Like, I remember, they weren't really using us, but you know, we were we were there and we were around, and we were on Superstars and whatever, and we'd always have good matches. You know, you can always, count on us for a good match, whatever. Then when SmackDown moved to Sci-Fi, I remember we got the TV, and we were like in four segments. So we're like, "Oh, cool. Yeah, we never get to do this much." So, and the deal was, you know, we, the Dude Busters, were literally moving. Yeah, we thought we were moving. So, you know, and we did like a and we did something with Vicky Guerrero, like we locked her in a moving truck or something. And that's when she was like, mm-hmm. In the main picture on SmackDown. And so we were like, "Oh, sweet, you know, this is it." And like the head writer at the time of SmackDown, super nice guy, can't remember his name at the moment. I think it was Chris, actually. And he was like, at the end of the night, he's like, "Yeah, man, I think this is going to be really good for you guys, you know, good stuff." And then SmackDown was live that week to kick off the Sci-Fi, and we got a call saying, "Oh, you guys aren't needed for TV." You know, like,
oh, man.
Like, all right. Yeah. And, you know, I got no gripes tonight. It's just, it can just be weird sometimes, you know, the way things go. And I was never really one to, you know, I used to always, in fact, I remember Edge saying this, he was jokingly saying this about Christian, the squeaky wheel gets the oil, you know.
Yeah.
And but I guess you know we could have been, or I could have been more vocal about things. I kind of just was like, you know, tell me what you want me to do, sort of thing.
Yeah.
Like Shawn Michaels told me that one time. He said, "Don't be afraid to step on some toes."
Shawn Michaels himself, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's one of the quintessential toe steppers historically. So it's not a big surprise coming from Shawn Michaels. Yeah. So that's what other advice do you remember getting from different wrestlers? Were there any advice of someone or some wrestler seemingly trying to keep you down? Did you remember having any of those encounters?
Yeah, you know, not really. Like, I would say, and I'm sure most everybody would agree, I was, you know, very well liked. I got along with everybody, but uh-huh. That's probably because I never really rose up to the call. You know what I mean? Like, I was never anybody. I was never a threat to anybody's main event spot, or you know what I mean? Anything like that.
Yeah.
But I definitely would see, you know, I'd see it or I'd hear about it from, you know, I know, just, you know, I really can't think of any specific examples, but I just, you know, like buddies of mine start going up the card and, you know, they're like, oh, I got to deal with this or this guy saying this or, you know, it can get pretty political, but I never experienced it, you know. But.
Now, were there any specific wrestlers that you knew that, you know, kind of vented to you at all?
That would, like, vent to me?
Yeah.
Trying to think. The kind of, you have the people that could complain about everything no matter what, you know, then you have the guys who are just kind of go along with everything. I know Ryback's had some issues as of late, you know.
Yeah.
And that's been pretty well documented.
Do you ever remember having any type of experience with Ryback kind of telling you some things as far as his push or his lack of direction?
Right. No, only just like he'd, you know, we just get frustrated because, you know, we stay in touch a lot. And he'd just say, oh, man, I talked to Vince, you know, we're going to do this. And, you know, and this could happen. And he'd be like, man, you know, they lied to me or this didn't happen or whatever. And, or, you know, they say this and this doesn't happen. Kind of just stuff like that. But I mean,
do you think that he was, do you think that he was really trying? Because I read his, you know, little manifesto and, you know, it, you know, for the most part, a lot of it made sense. You know, he did say that, you know, he was handed many things, you know, and he, you know, tried to master them. Same thing with Cody Rhodes. And I'll ask you that question here in a minute. But, you know, Ryback was talking about how, you know, he, as far as putting over people, you know, in order for someone to become a star, he has to beat someone. And, you know, the person who puts someone over should get, you know, a lot of credit too. I mean, what do you feel about that? What are your thoughts on that? Should, you know, should the person who puts people over be on the same level as the one who's over?
Yeah, it's interesting. I actually, it's funny because I read that and I sent him a message saying I agreed with a lot of it and for him having the courage to, like, you know, just say that. Because a lot of guys, and I think WWE knows, a lot of guys, most everybody is there. You know, a lot of guys, I experienced this. Like, you get there, so they know, you know, this was, like, your goal and your dream to be here. And, you know, if you don't like something, there's the door, so to speak, you know, like.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I mean, because it's true. Like, at the end of the day, I mean, it is, you know, wrestling is predetermined. So it's kind of like at the end of the day, you know, they, a group of writers decides who wins. And, you know, a lot of times the guy who basically is winning more is going to make more money, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it ultimately comes down to that.
That's true.
Yeah, so I definitely agree with that part. And that, I can see where, you know, then the guys start trying to protect their spot and, you know, it's, and it's just because, like, in the, I always think, like, in the NFL, you know, it's like a third-string cornerback, you know, just busts his ass and, you know, just starts making plays. Like, you know, he's going to get – he could potentially become a starter just based on his ability where
mm-hmm.
there's not a team of bookers saying, like, well – you know, we want you to be 10th string or, you know.
Yeah.
So, but, I mean,
I can imagine. I can imagine that being frustrating, though, just having so many people in creative just kind of pulling you, you know, in four or five different directions. And you're really trying to hone your craft and develop your character. As far as developing characters, you know, you mentioned John Cena, you know, from working, you know, from OVW to becoming one of the biggest names in professional wrestling. How was he to work with? Because I've interviewed many people on my show and I've had conflicting opinions, more bad than good, unfortunately. But how was he to work with?
Man, see, I've never had nothing but great experiences with Cena. Like when I was in OVW. You know, him and Nick Dinsmore were good buddies, and Rob Conway, and they really helped us out. Because shortly after I started, Johnny Jeter, I don't know if you remember him, he was Johnny from the Spirit Squad.
Yep.
And Muhammad Hassan, Mark Capone, we all kind of started together. And like seeing Nick, like those guys really kind of helped us out a lot. And then just over the years, you know, I remember Cena got called up in 02, and then like every time we'd go on the road, from OVW, we'd get called up to go on the road for a week or two, and like, Cena was always there. He's always super cool. He always kind of like looked out for us. I just always kind of knew him. He was always super cool with me. But, you know, again, I was never in a position, you know, where we were working together or anything like that. So, I haven't, I haven't been around him in 5-6 years. So, you know, I don't know. I will say, though, I think he's been having, did you ever see that, what's that movie, Will Ferrell and Mark Wahlberg, Stepdad, I think it's called.
Yeah.
Okay. Cena comes in at the end. Like I really think he can he'll have a future in movies, you know, his stepdad. I remember thinking that about him way back before he even debuted. I remember thinking, man, whatever this dude does, he's probably gonna be successful at.
Yeah.
You know.
That's good.
I have
awesome.
All positive experience with Cena. You know. But I've heard the same stuff. Like you're talking about.
Yeah. So what prompted your release in 2010?
I don't know. I was kind of surprised actually, because I thought it'd keep me as like a, you know, like a utility guy.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It just kind of, you know, that's kind of how they go. They just kind of just do those house cleanings.
Mm-hmm.
And Johnny, remember Johnny just called me and said, yeah, they're going to release me. And it seemed weird that they didn't release Trent, which made people, you know, lead you to believe that they were going to, like, do something with them. But then, you know, they never really did. And basically, I guess it was like 2 years later, they just released Trent. It kind of just worked out in the sense where, you know, once that happened, I was ready to kind of maybe be done with wrestling and just move on to different stuff, which I wasn't sure what I wanted to do, but I had my degree in art.
Yeah.
And I like working with kids. That's what led me to in the art, you know, teaching art elementary school.
Yeah, that's great, man. I love I love bounce back stories like that, especially, you know, someone who's, you know, just doing what they love, doing their passion, you know, after wrestling. So,
Sure. Yeah. Thanks. And I feel real fortunate.
Yeah, that's great. And there's not a lot of people who, you know, actually bounce back in that way, you know, after being released from the WWE. They usually kind of wallow in the indies for a while.
Yeah, definitely.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So that's great. I mean, is that itch still there at all, or is it completely gone?
Was that wrestling?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because when I met my wife, it was funny because she never watched wrestling, and then all of a sudden she busts out like these. She'd tell me about a match I had in OVW in like 2003. I said, where'd you see that? She's like, oh, I watched it on YouTube. And she'd always say, do you want to go back? Do you miss it? Do you want to go back? And and what I found was, of course I miss it, but not to where I'd want to go back and do it again, you know? Like, I have wonderful memories of it. And I don't think she believed me at first, but she'd be like, if they called, you'd want to go back. Yeah, I'm real, you know, I'm just happy, you know, where I'm at. I definitely miss it. But, again, not to where I'd want to go back. And then something about, like, I've been asked to do, like, some indie shows, and I don't know, like, I think part of it is my last match was with WWE. I didn't know it was going to be my last match. But it was a dark match, and it was against Scott Gallows, which is one of my best buddies, and Deuce Mahoney was the ref, which is another one of my good buddies. And the three of us all got that was on a Tuesday. The three of us all got released Friday. So it's kind of like sitting, like, I was like, you know what I mean? Like, so, you know, and then, of course, you know, Scott Gallows is back, and they're – but. Again, kind of going back to, you know, the writers pushing people and all that, you know, Dr. Owls, he got released with me because they weren't really using him. Then he went to Japan, got over, now he's back. And I keep hearing lately how, you know, people are saying, wow, you know, Gallows and Anderson, they're future stars. And I want to see, like, well, duh, you had Drew here before.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. He beat Kane. He was the fake Kane.
Yeah. Well, we always joke. I say, dude, you're like an old school guy from like back in our day because he's had like four gimmicks.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly. And he's young too. He's like, what, 30, 31?
Yeah. We're like, I think it was 3 years apart. I just turned 36. He might be 33. Maybe he's 40.
Yeah,
I can't remember.
Still young, though. I mean, he's been around for that long and had so many gimmicks, and he's still in his early 30s. That's pretty interesting.
He's fake Kane, Festus. And if you count developmental, he was freaking Deacon. So that's fine.
Yep, freaking Deacon. And then the Straight Edge Society when he was Luke Gallows.
Luke Gallows.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, he's Luke
One
Gallows,
of my favorite
man.
People.
Yeah. That's awesome, man. What do you think? I mean, did he talk to you like when he, you know, got the call to come back? Did he speak to him after that?
I read it somewhere online. I texted him. I said, "Hey, did you get re-signed?" He said, "Yeah." I was like, "That's awesome." So yeah, that was pretty much it. And then I actually really enjoy their angle that they got going on. Well, it's probably over now with Reigns, but
yeah. So, what was his reaction when you know, when he got word that he was coming back?
He was just pretty grateful. You know, he's happy to go back.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. Good stuff, man. Well, last question is, what? Did you encounter? You said that you got along with anyone. Do you remember any backstage incidents?
I'm sure. And you know, when I say I get along with everybody, of course, there's people like, you know, you don't care for and all that. I don't want to sound like I was, you know, just for the most part, I never really butted heads to anybody, I guess you can say. Mm-hmm. But backstage incidents, let me think. I'm not trying to conceal nothing. I know one time I wasn't there, but it was when I was with WWE. I heard about it. John Morrison and Bradshaw got into it once.
Oh, really? Interesting.
Yeah. I can't remember exactly what it was about. But I just remember thinking, wow, because, you know, John was a good buddy of mine from OVW. And I remember thinking, wow, you know, good for him.
Yeah, good stuff, man. I'm so glad that you've really rebounded, man. It's really great to hear that. And 6 years out of the WWE, you're doing what you love and teaching kids to use the gift of art, man, to create life. And I really, really appreciate the hearing stuff like that. I absolutely, absolutely love it, man. So where can people find you?
You can follow me on Twitter, at CroftDaddyWWE. Chris Pavone on Facebook, and I also got a little portfolio online. It's www.artwork.chrispavone@crevado.com. That's CREVADO. It's funny too, man, about the because I wrote a children's book. I don't know if you knew about that.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, and so like to pursue more with that, and it's funny, like, you know, I got a decent amount of followers on Twitter just because it's my time with WWE.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, damn it, if I knew I was going to keep that Twitter handle, I would have made it something different.
Yeah.
Croft Daddy, you know what I'm saying? But there's been times where, there'll be a Cleveland Browns podcast, and I'll tweet my question in, you know, it'll get read. And they'll say, Chris Pavone at Croft Daddy WWE wants to know. And I think, oh, man.
Yeah.
But whatever, it's all good. Yeah.
Like, yeah, I can't just totally dismiss WWE from my life because I'm already on Twitter. Yeah, I mean, that's one of those
right.
things with those Twitter handles. You can change the name, but you can't
right,
change
right.
the Twitter handle. You know what I mean? So, that's,
right,
yeah,
exactly.
You can never get away with that. So. That's a really, really interesting. So, also, man, I really appreciate speaking to another native Ohioan. I was just I just interviewed Johnny Gargano a few weeks ago, and we were talking about the people I've interviewed from Ohio. So, you're the one on the list. You're another one on the list, man. It's great to know where you are now, 6 years out of the WWE, and it's great to see that you're having a successful career doing something you love, man.
Awesome. Cool. Well, yeah, Chris, I really appreciate the time, man, and you having me come on the show.
Awesome. You have a great night. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, buddy. You too. Bye-bye.
Thanks, bye.
You are now listening to the Pancakes and Power Slam Show by Crave Wrestling on Blog Talk Radio. Be sure to follow Crave Wrestling on Twitter at Crave Wrestling and join the Facebook fan page Crave Wrestling.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's get into Extreme Rules recap, Raw recap, and talk about the highs and lows, mostly lows of wrestling going on right now. Without further ado, I'd love to bring on the one, the only, ladies and gentlemen, Ryan Fuqua. How are you tonight, sir?
Hey, what's going on, Chris? I'm great. Happy to be here like usual.
That's right, man. It's great to have the band back together for tonight, man.
Absolutely.
Yep. So with Extreme Rules, man, what would you just, you know, without just going through the entire card, what would you give just an objective overarching evaluation of whatever highs and lows you can think of from the pay-per-view?
This may hurt you. My biggest low, and I think Twitter pretty much agrees, all of Twitter, would be the Asylum match.
Oh, I hated that.
Not necessarily. Yeah. It went too long, and it's kind of, you know, following that four-way match for the IC title. I mean, good grief. Like,
yeah.
Cole was spouting out about match of the year, and he wasn't blowing smoke by any means. That was – it's exactly what we thought it would be. Yeah, so that really hurt with that Asylum match. It kind of went too long, too, and I don't know. I guess Jericho and Ambrose wasn't a good fit, so that was my low. But like I said, my high definitely was the IC match. The main event, the false finishes, I mean, I had that reaction like, oh, my gosh, they must be champ. And, yeah, I was like, whoa, they got me there. Regardless how you feel about Reigns, man, he's I know I could get in there with the likes of AJ Styles and look good, but he held it down. I still don't know what it is for me that I'm not all the way on board, but I can darn sure give him his credit. He held it down in that match.
Yeah. I've been so disturbed by the overall, well, it's been going on for a while, so I'm not surprised necessarily, but it just seems like Roman Reigns continues to prove all of the skeptics wrong. See, all of the things, and I've heard so many different reasons why people don't like Roman Reigns. Now, here's the thing. You have every right in the world to not like Roman Reigns. That's on you. That's okay. Yeah, that's totally okay. You know, someone like, I can say that I don't like someone like Kalisto. You know, I don't like Kalisto. He's a really good wrestler. You know, he can have an amazing match. I mean, I think him and Ryback was one of the best matches on Payback. You know, but it's like, I just don't like Kalisto. You know, it's not like, it's not necessarily a rhyme or reason why I don't like him. I just don't, I don't care for the guy. Now, someone came to me and said, I don't like Roman Reigns. You know, he just doesn't do it to me. He just doesn't do it for me much. You know, I just don't necessarily care for him. But I can't say that Kalisto's not a good worker. I can't say Kalisto can't wrestle. You know what I mean? I can't say Kalisto has absolutely no charisma. You know what I mean? Because those things are all false. And I can't sit here and try to make up a reason why I don't like him for the sake of saying, you know what, this reason is true. This is the true reason. He cannot wrestle. You know, it's a logical, ridiculous argument because, you know, I've had conversations with this, you know, about this with people. I'm like, okay, so, you know, and the flavor of the week, we're going to talk about this. You know, I listed on the Crave Wrestling Facebook page every single match that he competed at since last year's February pay-per-view, which was, I believe, Payback. Or Fastlane.
Fastlane. Yeah.
Last year when he went against Daniel Bryan. And so I listed every match on the Crave Wrestling Facebook page, and we're going to go through them here in a minute. And I said, okay, and I actually gave it to someone. I said, here's all the matches from, because I didn't count any Royal Rumbles. I said, here's all the matches from February of 2015, all of the pay-per-view matches that he's been in, every single one of them. I said, okay, two questions. One, name the person who carried, quote-unquote, carried Roman Reigns in the match. And two, name a bad match. And none of them, you know, when I posed the question, the answer was crickets, because none of them ring true. None of those questions apply to Roman Reigns' matches. And I was reading Jim Ross's blog about it, and people would call him idiots because they were saying, because he was saying that, you know, he believes that a lot of those Roman Reigns hating chants, you know, seem self-absorbed. And it's funny. The funny part of that is I don't disagree with that, because I've been saying that for a long time. I think a lot of the time people want to put themselves over, and that's where we've gotten to,
yeah.
you know, in the state of professional wrestling, and it's really sad.
And
that
that's
people...
why I really don't have an answer as why I haven't. I don't dislike the guy. I'm just not on board yet. I don't know when
yeah.
I'll come around. I think for me, my knock was, why is he still coming out of the crowd, still using the Shield music, change your gear? Because I think same thing about Ambrose, like just with his gear. Like just throw some chunks on, be a wrestler, you know? Like
yeah.
I think that's one of the things that got me, but that's just petty. But I don't hate the guy. Was I frustrated at one point? Sure. But no, there's no dislike. I'm just not ready to I'm not ready to embrace the Roman Empire yet, so to speak.
You know what? I think that's. I don't know exactly. I don't know exactly what made me become such a Roman Reigns guy, because I didn't like him at first. First of all, because I didn't know who the heck he was, and I was like, "Who is this guy getting this type of push?" Because I knew Rollins, because I followed him in ROH when he was Tyler Black, and I followed Ambrose when he was John Moxley. So I knew both of them from the Indies, and I looked at a little bit of NXT at that time back in 2012. I wasn't really big into NXT as much as I am now. But I did remember watching, you know, some, because it wasn't aired, you know, except for on YouTube. So I watched some YouTube stuff, and I saw a little bit of him, but I wasn't too familiar with him. And so I was like, no, I don't know who this guy is. But he started to, and when he was doing heelish things, I didn't like him when he was like, when they were beat up, you know, all these makeshift tag teams, when it was like three people together. And I just didn't like it. But I don't know what it was that made me start liking him. I think because he kind of fit the mold of somebody who was kind of like a poster person for the WWE mixed with, you know what I mean? Mixed with the fact that, you know, he's evolving. I always,
yeah.
always have the checkpoint for me was always the – SummerSlam match 2014 against Randy Orton. I think it was
yeah.
rough. That was a very, very rough match for Roman Reigns. But he
yeah.
just continues to get better and better and better every week, I mean, every month.
Do
you know
think
I mean?
It's, like you said, do you think, though, it is because, of course, we know that's always been out there. He's seen as that WWE corporate guy, and he's coming along after the likes of the guys like Punk and Brian, who are the totally opposite, and they got themselves super over.
I think the problem is that people like Daniel Bryan is a company. He's not a company guy. He's an indie guy, and I think
mm-hmm.
that you know a lot of the wrestlers, wrestling fans nowadays. They don't really understand the, and I've had a conversation about that as far as how much I love traditional wrestling. And then you start watching stuff from the network and you would text me and say, man,
yeah.
Now I get it. You know what I mean? And
absolutely,
so
yeah.
a lot of people don't have that understanding of the, I mean, what paved the way for us to even experience pro wrestling period. You know what I mean? The rock and roll
mm-hmm.
era. Of the 80s,
mm-hmm.
you know, just the catch-as-catch-can of the 60s and 70s and things like that, just the really heavy storyline building that you would see, you know, in the 80s and early 90s. So, you know, it's really, really interesting. A lot of people don't understand that, and they see they see the indie shows that kind of immerse themselves in the characters instead of saying, let me attach myself to a character who has been developed by the WWE because this is all fake anyways. What I realize what a lot of wrestling fans do nowadays is that they'll say, okay, well, this guy can wrestle, and so I'm going to give this guy a lot of credibility because I don't really, you know, his wrestler, you know, his character is okay, but he can wrestle really good. So that's what I'm wanting to cheer.
And it's just what, 10, 12 years ago, maybe 14, yeah, about 14 years ago, Batista's basically, Roman's taking the same path as Batista. We all like Batista. We're all cool with Batista.
Man, you couldn't have said it any better, man. I totally agree with that. Batista was
almost the same exact path. Yeah.
Yep. Exactly. He was insanely over, and he would win all the time. You know, he was just exactly right. I think I've even mentioned that before. You know, just Batista. I mean, I remember going to SmackDowns. Here in Ohio, and when Batista's music would come on, the place would erupt. When Batista, I mean, everybody would try to zoom, you know, take a beeline over to the front, you know, of the barricade area. You know, people would just he was insanely over when he was on SmackDown, and it's really interesting because seemingly the same fan base isn't there as it was now. And, you know, the fan base are starting to decrease. I mean, I guess my question to you is, what do you think that with this fan base that we see now of the very smarky, heavy IWC, you know, infested type of fan base that we have now, that's actually hurting the product. What do you think could happen for, I guess, the IWC to kind of turn around? Because we saw with Roman Reigns last year, we saw, you know, a lot of the smarky fan base actually cheer Roman Reigns last year when he actually had a good deal against Sheamus. What do you think?
You saying what?
Do you think that there's no way out as far as just this is what we have to deal with? This is the type of crowd that we have to deal with. You know, they're going to try to hijack, you know, shows to put themselves over. Or will we ever get to the point where people can actually attach themselves into a good guy character, no matter if it is a, like a anti, kind of like a rebellious baby face like Austin was?
Mm-hmm.
What will it take for that to happen?
Man, I don't think it will, sadly. Like, I think this is just the era of fandom we're in, and I'm not saying I don't do it too, because I do it with certain people, but I think it's either going to be your Daniel Bryan, Sami Zayn's, or your CM Punk, Stone Cold Steve Austin, they get over. I don't think. Now, if we didn't know that Roman was this corporate guy, maybe we would see him as a cool guy. I don't think it's going to change. I don't know what could change it. I just think that's just the era we live in, and that's how us fans view the product now. Definitely with more exposure of indie wrestling, period. Like, that stuff's around. You don't have to watch WWE anymore. There's so much out there, and all that stuff is just, you know, recycled. You know, NWO click stuff. Look at what the Young Bucks do. They got over off of freaking the Click, Michaels, Nash, Hall. Like, they just took a gimmick, made it their own, tweaked it a little. Not really, but yeah.
Right. There was a moment of a tweak.
I mean, it's back over. It's just, history repeats itself. Maybe two decades from now, it swings back to being traditional wrestling and presented as a sport, you know? But I think for right now, it's what we got. I mean, look, NXT is basically like an indie product. They knew to go that way. Like, we praised Triple H for this, but Triple H seen what was going on in the world of wrestling, and he got with the times. NXT is presented like ROH and all those independent promotions. So but it's got WWE budget.
Yeah.
So it's tough.
Yeah.
So much exposure too.
Yeah, I mean, I think you bring up a great point. You know, and NXT is kind of allowing, you know, the indie crowd to really have a voice. But here's the thing, though. I remember watching NWA World Championship Wrestling back in the early 80s, mid-80s. And the actual crowd, the actual building where the production and where it was smaller than NXT than Full Sail. You know, it was just an intimate type of crowd.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? And so I still think it's one of those things that my answer to the question I asked you is you have to have clear-cut faces and heels. You just have to. I mean, I think that's one of things that is one of the biggest problems with the WWE product right now. Is that there are not clear cut baby faces and heels, because the split crowd chants, the heels actually getting cheered, Sting getting cheered, you know, well, Kevin Owens getting cheered, Seth Rollins getting cheered, you know what I mean? It's like a character can't really develop into being anything other than what the fans make him if he is not a clear cut baby face or heel. You know, it was one of those things where Hulk Hogan was developed despite of what the fans thought. The fans were like, you know, he had such an amazing type of following, amazing type of development for his character that the fans couldn't help but to just kind of latch on. You know, Austin, you know, it really didn't matter, you know, what the fans thought. His character was so infectious that the fans couldn't help but to latch on. Same thing with Daniel Bryan. You know, we even have an example of that nowadays that the fans, you know, could latch on. And I just think that there has to be that one person, that one baby face, that one definitive person that said, you know, that they decide to say, okay, we're going to decide to make this person. And you mentioned Batista. They did the same thing with Batista. You know, when he turned, was 05, when he turned on Triple H and became a babyface for, you know, what, 4 or so years after that? 3 or 4 years after that was just he was just the definitive babyface. And that's why I think that the split would work, you know, because SmackDown is just raw light. You know what I mean? It just really doesn't really separate itself. And my thing is this, if you have people like Roman Reigns getting drafted to SmackDown, and becoming like the guy for SmackDown, and we don't have to see as much as Roman Reigns, I actually think that would help kind of reshape the mindset.
That's how Cena came up.
Exactly. Exactly.
On SmackDown,
He was on SmackDown. Edge as well.
He got drafted to Raw and got that crazy pop, you know? Like, that was that was crazy.
Exactly. And, it's, you know, it's always – you always get that – you know, I miss you, Pop. That's what happened with Triple H. You know, he was gone for that long, you know, for so long. But we always forget. We always forget, you know, before the quad injury, he was one of the biggest heels with the 10-man power trip. You know what I mean? And so and when he came back, he was just, you know, it erupted. Same thing with
and
Edge.
And then that kind of helps me segue to one thing I wanted to ask you, and it frustrated me. I just wanted to turn the TV back off. We knew he was going to be a heel, but come on, a returning Rollins. I mean, I know you got Reigns as your top babyface right now, but did he have to go back to heel? Like, why not make that guy babyface? His moveset, everything. And we already know him as a heel is just, it's like he's so weak. Like, there's no heat on him as a heel. You know, because like, they already make him, they embarrass him every week. So, there's no heat on him. You know, he's just the over baby face. Let him help get Reigns over or something. I don't know. Just I
agree.
I disagree with having him come back as a heel.
Yeah, and you know, I reported on the Crave Wrestling Facebook page. I reported that he's going to, you know, there are reports that saying that he was slated to come back as a babyface, but they changed their mind, and they were going to bring him back as a heel, and we saw that on Raw, and it's just, you know, it's one of those things that, again, it goes back to the whole clear cut babyface and heel thing. You know, you have, and I mention this on every Monday. I do a Facebook Live, and I mention this after in the Facebook Live, the Raw on the Raw review. You know, I say it's kind of like, how am I going to get invested into a character? It's kind of like having a conversation, and this is what this is basically what Seth Rollins did. Okay, I'm glad you guys missed me. I missed you too, but all of you, I don't like you. You know, and it's like. And it's like having a conversation with someone and saying, and them telling you all these niceties and saying, well, you know what, Ryan, you know, it's been a while, man. I really, really appreciate talking to you, man. We it's great to catch up with you. I think you're a great guy, man. You're very inspiring. But I really don't like anything you do. You know what I mean? It's like, you build up to all this encouragement. And then you just get slain, you know, by that comment. And I'm like, okay, I don't want to talk to you no more if you want to do this. You know what I mean? Like, why am I? It's not a matter of me saying, well, I don't like you back. I'll just be like, okay, you're weird. I'll just go away. You know what I mean? I don't want to invest my time in you. You know what I mean? So, and I think that's what happens a lot of times when you have the Kevin Owenses and the Seth Rollins. It's not a matter of, you know, I'm trying to invest myself and like this person. It gets to the point where I'm like, okay, I just don't really care for him. You know what I mean? And that's,
yeah, you just give up. Yeah.
Anything on Raw, right quick that you can recall?
Just Charlotte's thing is, you know, it's just your typical cheesy get heat on your manager, but. I agree, Charlotte. She's come a long way. She does well on the mic. I'm not saying she's the greatest, but she does well. I like how she interacts with the crowd and stuff at times. That was probably my biggest takeaway. Kevin Owens, I told you, great candidate for Money in the Bank. I think him holding that briefcase for a year and just running his mouth and just, yeah. I think that's awesome. That could be heat.
Yeah. I just don't know. I just don't have enough faith in WWE.
He cashes in on Reigns, and then it's like, yay! Yeah.
Exactly.
That's where face Seth Rollins being champ.
Yep. And it's just going to hurt Owens to me that he's trying to be a heel. You know what I mean? And for some reason, you know, he casts it on Reigns and they're going to cheer. It doesn't help the character at all. Real quick, as far as Charlotte, I just think, you know, I think it meant good, but you know, it was just really awkward. I just really think it was so awkward to me because, you know, you can really tell she was kind of legit crying, and there's times that she was trying to fake cry to try to, you know, mask the real cry, and she was just playing to the trolls too much. Like, what? How much sense does it make if you say what one more time to a Baltimore crowd? I mean, what does that even mean? If you say what one more time,
I don't know what? Yeah,
you know, like just so.
Yeah.
I just think it was really awkward. You just can't play to the trolls like that. You have to learn how to master that stuff and just, you know, go with the punches. It was awful. It was awful. And then my last
what
question
about Dana
too,
Brooks flare struck?
Oh my gosh.
That has been the goofiest thing I've seen the past two shows. Yeah.
I've never been a fan of Dana Brooke ever. NXT, I think she wrestles awkward, she looks awkward, she just there's nothing appealing to me about Dana Brooke. I don't like it at all. And then pairing with Charlotte just seems forced. It looks weird. There's nothing about it I like at all. And then my last question to you real quick before we go to the Flavor of the Week is punk. You know, I mentioned on my, the Facebook page that Mickey Gall was saying that they may go against each other in the summertime, late summer. But there's, you know, reports that saying that CM Punk, you know, he's banged up, might not happen at all. I mean, what do you think about that?
I wouldn't buy tickets to a CM Punk fight until I see him weigh in the afternoon before the fight.
Right.
That's all I can say. I mean, I don't think it's going to happen. I really don't. He was in a weird place when he signed the deal, and, you know, Dana White's not going to turn it down because it's publicity. I'd like to see it. I mean, it'd be entertaining. I'd definitely watch, but don't buy your tickets until you see him weigh in.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's very true. Because even the day of, he might get an injury for some reason.
Yeah.
All the backs out the day of. Oh, man.
Yeah.
I can't do it. Sorry. I'm retired.
Gosh, it's what? It's been like 2.5 years, basically.
January 2004,
Rumble 2014. Grief. Yeah, and you're talking about guys who are in that sport who's been doing it since they were like 8 years old, 12 years old. So, yeah, good luck.
Right. Real quick, flavor of the week.
It is now time for the flavor of the week.
About 45 seconds. I just encourage everyone to go to the Crave Wrestling Facebook page. I actually have the list on there for 2015 and 2016 and the questions posed. So that's the flavor of the week, you know, for this week. You know, just go to the Crave Wrestling Facebook page, look at all the matches, and just let me know what bad match that you see that you recall, because I don't recall any of them. Did you recall any bad matches, Ryan?
No, just really enjoyed the one at Mania and San Fran, him and Lesnar. Starting out and looking like a real fight. So
yes,
that was probably my favorite.
I love that match. That and Daniel Bryan was good too. So, all right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in. Thank you, Chris Pavone, Caitlin Croft, for coming in. 6 years retired and still wanting to talk wrestling with the Pancakes and Power Slams family. So thank you so much for that. Thank you, everybody, for continuing to support. God bless you all, and enjoy your week of wrestling. Goodbye.